Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Hey everyone, it's your host for the World Beat Show, Scott Duran, and I want you to join me every Saturday at 11 a.m., where I take you on a journey around the world and show you traditional and modern style world beat music. Music from Africa, Spain, France, Japan, China, heck, even songs and artists from the United States itself. So join me every Saturday at 11 a.m. only on the KSJE 90.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Megan, host of Radio Free Saturday Morning, the eclectic music mix beacon of the Four Corners and worldwide. Tune in to discover new music and to revel in the more familiar with no rules on genre, form, or novelty. Learn more about the origins of songs, the lives of the musicians that made them, and a wide array of interesting facts in general. It's freeform radio at its finest. Hear what you rarely hear anywhere else here on Radio Free Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Saturday on KSJE.
Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 23rd day of August, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE today, 90.9 FM, over the air right here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast, of course, at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet and want to tune us in, all you have to do is go to our website and listen, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program, because as you know, KSJE is a community-supported visual radio station, so the video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and our YouTube channel, so we're glad that you are with us, everyone. Coming up in the next few moments, our conversation today is about the San Juan United Way and their upcoming campaign, of course, all the work that they do with local nonprofits in the community, and some of the things they're looking at doing maybe a little bit differently in the months ahead. So we'll talk about that and more coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE today. Then later on this hour, the one and only Ron Price will be here with a new lesson about life in the sandbox. He'll be joining me today at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE and also online, so tune in for that. Next hour, of course, it's Roving with the Arts, our classical music program. Mick Hess is featuring music from Bach today, so enjoy that next hour here. And that'll take us to 10:30, and right on Four Corners, Delcherie Gladden is the host of that program, and she speaks with local and regional authors. Join her today at 10:30 for another insightful interview with another area author. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a partly cloudy Wednesday morning, 69 degrees at the moment. We're expecting actually more clouds than sun today, with a 50% chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm popping up. Cooler weather as well, the high today only reaching about 86 degrees. Chance for rain overnight tonight with a low of 66, a bigger chance for rain tomorrow, 70% chance of showers on Thursday with a high of 82 tomorrow and a low of 65, 83 with a chance of rain again on Saturday, 87 chance of rain on Saturday, and then partly sunny skies on Sunday and 90 by Monday, but still kind of cooler weather than we've been experiencing. Back with my guest, we'll talk about San Juan United Way right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. It's time for the 34th annual Tota Festival over Labor Day weekend at the Farmington Civic Center, featuring Native American artisans, food, a cultural expo, an authentic Navajo rug auction, and more. Don't forget the Tota 5K River Run and Walk and Joe Tahoney Jr. and White Mountain Apache Crown Dancers. The Tota Festival, September 2nd and 3rd at the Farmington Civic Center, is a jolt-worthy event. Find out more at farmingtonnm.org. Back here in Studio A with my guest this morning, the Executive Director of the San Juan United Way, Catherine Abeta, is joining me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Welcome back. It's good to see you.
You as well.
Great to have you here. And just full disclosure to let everyone know that I am a proud board member of the San Juan United Way. So I just want everyone to know my connection to the organization. But it's exciting to talk with you a little bit about the upcoming campaign, as I said, and maybe a little bit of some of the things San Juan United Way is thinking about doing differently this year, right? There's been a lot of discussions, I think, about how the organization can be impactful in the community.
Yeah, a lot of really, how are we evolving in the new world? There's been a lot of change over the pandemic, and I know that's even a phrase people are kind of sick of hearing, but in reality, we really are getting out of that. So this is really going to be the first year, first campaign year, where we're able to go into many more group settings, workplace settings, and actually have the chance to explain to individuals and companies and businesses that work here locally about what the needs are of the community, and also how we've been building a lot more resiliency and how a lot of nonprofits have really been showing that throughout the year.
Right, right. Now, one thing though that hasn't really changed is still the need for community members and businesses to contribute to the San Juan United Way, because you take those dollars and together you can make really cool things happen. I mean, all those dollars add up. We've seen that over the years and years and years, and create some pretty cool grants and funding for local nonprofits and special programs and things like that. And that still is kind of the basis of the United Way.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, if you really could say that we do two things, you know, we are really focusing on elevating nonprofits and connecting the community to, well, we do that through connecting the community to causes, but the other thing that we really care about is strengthening the impact that nonprofits have in the community. So whether that's something that's being delivered by an existing nonprofit, or whether that's something that we can help identify through our other work that is needed for our community. So all of our work is kind of in discovering that, making partners with the service providers in the community, but really the most valuable part of what we do is bring the community into that. So, and how we do that mostly is through payroll deductions and nonprofit donations. The United Way campaign is really special in that we get to go into so many workplaces that, you know, on the back end, we help their payrolls set up the system so that they can actually withdraw however many dollars you'd like from each paycheck into a fund that ends up coming to United Way, and you fill out a pledge form each year and you get to help direct where you want that money to go. It's always going to stay in San Juan County unless you elect a nonprofit that serves another community, which we always will honor, and we're happy to spread the love. We really just want to continue generating more good, because part of the funding that or part of the benefit of the funding that comes from United Way, United Way funding is unrestricted. And to anyone with any relation to a nonprofit or even government, you know how hard it is to operate within all of the grant restrictions. Obviously, it's essential to providing these services, and it creates the majority of the funding that comes through to provide safety net services and beyond. However, there's so many times where an agency needs something that goes above and beyond what a grant funder already has earmarked. So this is the opportunity where they can come to the community. This would, at United Way, this is a panel of community members and donors to evaluate the community fund that we will have just raised to say, hey, we have money to help these needs get met in our community. Oftentimes nonprofits will say, you know, we have all of this money set aside to do this work, but we need $10,000, $5,000 to actually put it into play because we don't have something to cover this part or that part. And so there's just a lot of red tape in traditional funding. And that's one of the main ways that United Way funding is so special. So even if it's smaller amounts of dollars, it's really valuable to the nonprofits.
Right. We hear a lot about maybe, you know, here's a grant for this program that you want to do that's going to create really cool results in your community. We see the need for this program, but it'll pay for the program. It won't maybe pay for the gas money to transport the kids to this really cool thing, or the snacks for the kids to come to this program, or maybe staff salaries to put it together and put it into play, right? And that's where maybe some of that United Way money can fill the gaps.
Absolutely.
To make it happen. And they've got the money for the program, but maybe not some of the other little bits and pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite examples that we used to use, it might not be true now that through the pandemic there's been a lot of shuffling in who's running programs, but one of the things that was just really special to me, and I think to a lot of other donors, was the programs here locally that operate the Meals on Wheels type service.
Sure.
That deliver food to homebound seniors who don't have access to transportation, getting a car. So they have a lot of state and federal funding. However, they came to us because they didn't have anyone to fund the actual trays that the food's put on and then sealed onto so that they can have weekend meals. So that's a great example, I think. You know, even if that's still not the most relevant one, there's so many more. It's just, there's so many. You know, another great one is Roundtree over, it's a PMS program that helps families with children who have developmental delays and helping getting them ready for life and have a head start.
Right.
They have a lot of other funding that makes up the whole program, but they needed funding for a few adaptive headpieces for children with traumatic brain injuries or I think skull forming challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a life-saving measure for that child, and that child can't access further programming that's already being funded if they can't have the tools that they need. And so that's a great opportunity then again for a nonprofit to come to the community fund and say, hey, here's what we've got. Here's what we're able to accomplish if we had these things set in place. And that's why this community fund is so special, because it's made up of all of us. All of us put in a few dollars, and then we have this pot of money at the end of the year for those needs so that our community can really have a chance at being the healthiest possible.
Local dollars going to local organizations, local nonprofits from local
Yes.
people. And the other thing I always like to talk with you about and remind audiences is 100% of the dollars that we donate to United Way goes to these charities. There isn't anything that goes to administration or your salary or things like that, because that's covered by a different set of money. And I think that's really
Yes.
important that folks understand that. Even money that goes to United Way of America is from a different set of donations from corporate partners.
Yes. Honestly, this is one of my favorite parts about getting to work for our United Way and our community is, like you said, 100% of the money that we raise here in this county, unless a specific donor asks us, it's spent here. That is one of the obligations, you know, one of the few obligations to the funded nonprofits.
But even if I said I want my donation to go to Timbuktu, 100% of it is going to go to Timbuktu.
It sure is.
Yeah.
So one of the great, so that also leads me to, how can we do this? You know, not every United Way can do this, and it sort of feels like that's too good to be true. How do you do this for free? You know, I have kids, I have to take care of myself too. But in addition to what we raise for the community fund to go out in these impactful grants, we also are raising money from local companies and even some local individuals who really invested in this work that we do. And so they pay and underwrite essentially the entire campaign and our work throughout the entire year. So one of the other benefits that means is that when we can go into a workplace and get to talk to employees, donating is completely voluntary. It's really just an opportunity for people to give back to something that's important to them. Every cost that's associated with that, which I mean, unfortunately, there's always a cost. You know, we have to print the papers, we have to process checks, we have to put stamps on letters. Those things do add up. I know those are small things, but it's just, there's cost of it. All of that is being taken care of by companies locally that believe in this work, so that we're not in a situation where you know, maybe 5 cents out of your dollar has to be set aside to cover that. And, you know, it's no shade to the agencies that have to do that. It makes sense. It's built into the business plan because, like I said, it takes money but to do this. But it's so incredible that the companies here in San Juan County, the entire time I've been here, 7 years, and even way, way, way before, you've been with United Way longer than I have. Not way, way, way. I'm just saying that
couple
it's
ways.
Far.
There's a couple ways.
As far back as, you know, my history.
Yeah,
is
long time.
We've always had our community underwrite the cost of this campaign so mm-hmm. that everyone can participate. That also means a nonprofit. Nonprofits can participate and give this opportunity to their employees, and all of the work going behind the scenes to process for us to set this up, it's paid for.
Right.
And it's so incredible. So a huge shout out to our corporate cornerstone companies, our workplace campaign companies. Just there's dozens of companies in the community that they see the work behind the work, and we're so grateful to them to let us continue doing this work. And
right, it's a great thing. And like you said, not every United Way can do this
right.
and offer this to their donors. We are one in a very large amount that's able to do this because of these corporate cornerstone partners and companies who underwrite that other expense. And the other thing I want folks to know is that whenever you're planning to give to any kind of a charity, you can always look up, or you should be able to look up, that percentage of overhead and know, you know, how many cents from your dollar is going to maybe go to administration or whatever it is. And some are higher than others, mm-hmm. But San Juan United Way is zero. And
right.
it's always been zero.
Right, right. And another point to that, too, when you look at when you do look at other organizations, because one of the things that we also try to be for the community is really a convener and collaborator, not just in problem solving, but in connecting donors and community members to a cause they care about. So if you are interested in supporting a veterans organization or a youth organization, or if you have something specific that you're interested in, you can give us a call and we'll have a good idea of where to point you in the right direction. But one of the things too to consider with overhead, so we're the luckiest on the planet, I think, with it. But one thing to remember too is there's a lot of agencies that do carry a high overhead that sometimes you have to think that the service that they're doing is overhead. So, you know, legal aid is a good example, or therapists are a good example, where the program is their service and their professional expertise and involvement in that program. And so sometimes it's hard to misunderstand those things, and we're always there to answer questions and help people make the right choices. And another thing too is sometimes people just want to help an organization or a cause and they don't know of one locally. So there's no harm in giving to an organization in Timbuktu. You know, it might be hard to find an address for me to send a check, but we
Understood.
Will
right.
do our best.
You would find it.
But if you're not specific about it and you just want to get more involved in a certain cause, come to us. Let us help you find a local nonprofit that could either use your donations or time, talent, and service. You know, there's
right.
a lot of other ways to get involved with the community.
Just be a volunteer, perhaps, right?
Absolutely. You could join the board.
Well, there you go. That's true. That's very true. I want to ask you a little bit about you sent some graphics in to talk a little bit about this morning, so folks who are watching on video can kind of see a bit about what we're talking about. Radio audience, you just have to visualize
yes.
that we're talking about these really cool graphics that Catherine
They'll be on our website.
Sent in. But yes, but this is kind of talking a bit about some of the rethinking, I think, of how the United Way wants to spend the dollars that it collects every year from folks, and have folks understand maybe where that money could go, unless mm-hmm. they designate specific areas. But if people are like me and just send in, you know, a few dollars every paycheck and goes into the community fund, and then they get designated that way, this is kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yes. And so even really a lot of what we're doing that might look different is just a simplification. Really, it's a simplification of what we've always been doing. We've had grants spanning, in every dollar amount almost you could imagine. And one of the ways that we've adapted over the pandemic, especially when predicting the amount of funding we could raise was difficult. We went to a granting system where we had predetermined grants with goals and objectives attached to that, which would help the applying nonprofit to better assess which grant and level of, you know, commitment, requirement is right for their organization,
okay,
rather than it being a little more of just you get what you get.
Right.
You don't throw a fit.
Right.
So really.
Because there's never really been enough money to give every person that's asking for money the 100% of what they're asking for. There's just never enough to go around, unfortunately.
That's a great point. And that really is, you know, every year, just even in the most recent years, the grant amounts that we're requested each year are between $800,000 and $1 million. And, you know, we're projecting that we might, this year, we're never able to fulfill even close to that, which is always heartbreaking for the community to see, but it's also another piece of education because those grant requests represent actual needs from those organizations.
Right.
So they're shooting for the stars. They know that those numbers can't be fulfilled, but they are representing actual needs, which is what we're asking them to do because we are trying to help bridge that connection between what that need is in the community and what the community can do. So by predetermining and making it a little bit easier, now the top grant you can get from United Way is going to be $25,000. That's been going on for a couple of years now, and we call them our game changers in that category. So that category really are they're nonprofits that have proven adaptability, they have proven their resilience, they've stayed steady throughout really tough times without wavering any quality of service, and they really make up the safety net of our community that provides some of the most vital vital services.
Okay. And would you say big impacts, I guess,
from
these
yes.
grants and that are funding these programs, I guess?
Yes, bigger impacts. Mm-hmm. $25,000 might not be enough to, completely change anything, but $25,000 of unrestricted in an organization that has been doing a lot of big impact is one of the biggest benefits we can give
sure.
to an agency.
Right.
So our community fund is split between those grants and then our Live United grants, which used to be called our Capacity Builder grants, but we've really combined what our Live United and Capacity Building grants used to mean over the last few years, because really they are one and the same in that our Live United grant now offers capacity building. So it's a smaller grant amount at $5,000, but this gives us the opportunity to work with more nonprofits that need or want more one-on-one attention, maybe mentoring, maybe a little bit of help on a certain part of operating their nonprofit or connecting with other nonprofits for efficient service. Grant writing, whatever it might be that they need a little bit of help with, this gives us an opportunity to kind of dig deeper into the up and coming or smaller nonprofits in the community or agencies that, you know, they don't need as much unrestricted funding, but they could sure use a new playground for the kids or something that is, you know, a one-time project.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So when you donate to the community fund, you're donating to those two funds,
right,
or grant processes.
Right. And it sounds like this is kind of widening the net, if you will, of nonprofits that the United Way is able to support and help from the other idea of just having member agencies. It's kind of, you don't have to necessarily be a member agency. Are we still even using
Correct.
That term?
Yeah, it's a little outdated term just because, I mean, even before the pandemic, but especially with an uptick in the pandemic, we've been partnering with so many other agencies, whether it's through funding or through non-funding ways of helping the other nonprofits, that, there was a little bit of stigma that was attached to the member part where a lot of other nonprofits in the community felt that they couldn't reach out. They felt that they couldn't be a part of what we had
to
going
on. To ask for
on.
Help even, right?
To ask
I
for
guess,
help.
Right?
Yeah, and to be part of this network of nonprofits, especially the core group of funded nonprofits from San Juan United Way in the county,
mm-hmm.
it is everyone, I mean, we're all working hard to always stay up on what everyone's doing, but it's such a tight-knit group that it's so much easier to be able to just tap into that network when you have questions, when you need referrals, when there's changes in policy, when legislation might be coming down with something new that people need to be concerned or look at or get involved. You just need to have, we need to have that community group of nonprofits. That network needs to be much more together. There's a lot of groups where it feels like their nonprofits are in silos together, and we really just want to do as much as possible to take those down and bring as many nonprofits into the fold as possible. It does appear different because it appears that, you know, more health and human service nonprofits would be eligible for these grants, but in truth, they've been getting them already, just not during our campaign. So we really want to communicate this part to donors and to the community that we're doing a lot of funding of even smaller but very impactful things throughout the year. And so this is one of the ways I think that people can see up front, what do I want to invest my donation in? So you don't have to choose. You can choose impact fund, but you can also look a little deeper into, am I interested in what the Live United grant has going on, or am I interested in what the Game Changer grants are going to have going on? Because it's less about what the specific outcomes and goals that these agencies are after, which was the traditional way we granted. Now it's a lot more about, you've proven yourself. We know we've been working with you for a decade, maybe, or we've seen your work and worked alongside you, and we want you to keep doing more of this. This is what's proven to work best. We want more of this.
Right. So we're looking at this Game Changer graphic right now, the $25,000 Game Changer grant, and it's got maybe five different areas about what these grants are designed to support.
Designed to support, and then also what agency, what a recipient might look like, a recipient agency might look like, and then just really what we're focusing on as far as how these decisions will eventually be made, but then also to inform the donor ahead of time for their consideration.
Right.
You know, these are more long-term.
And so for the radio audience, let me just read the headings really quick, though. Adaptability and innovation is one. Sustainable impact is another. Vital services is another. Strengthening resilience, and then addressing excellence. And that is part of these $25,000 Game Changer grants. And then I want to go to the next one, which are the Live United grants of $5,000. And those are about removing barriers, diverse support, empowering excellence, community connector, and capacity building for those types of organizations, right?
Yes, and on the Live United grants, because they're more of an entry-level grant, or it might be agencies that we're very familiar with and we still work with, but this would be a great opportunity for agencies that we don't work often with. This is, you know, where we would see it more as an entry-level grant to capacity building and empowerment and engagement and other ways to fold them into that larger network of nonprofits.
Gotcha. And so I just want to be clear for folks who are hearing us and watching us this morning, Catherine, that if a San Juan United Way person comes to their workplace and talks about the donor campaign and payroll deduction and all those, and they say, okay, I'm going to give, you know, $10 from every paycheck, goes to San Juan United Way, but I want to make sure I'm supporting the Boys and Girls Clubs or Child Haven or Red Cross or things like that. Is that still going to be able to happen?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is cornerstone to what we do in the community to carry out the donor's wish. The only reason that we bring these options of other grants are to give donors additional opportunities to invest in what's working and what's needed to resource and fund the solutions of what we need. But that would never stop us from caring so much about sustaining the work of organizations currently. And who better to know than our donors and the people who are living in our community? Many people in the community have personal experiences with nonprofits that this becomes a perfect way for them to give back to a nonprofit that they care about. There would never be stopping that. It's one of our most exciting ways to continue giving, and also it increases the amount that any of these agencies get. So for instance, any of those agencies you listed or any others, if they were to receive a Live United or a Game Changer grant, any designations that they get are actually on top of that.
Right.
So designations designations also come to them unrestricted. So it's in addition to that beautiful United Way style grant form.
And I guess with this new kind of approach, the idea would be maybe is during the year that maybe there's a new program that comes up or a new need that comes up in the community. And so maybe one of those organizations like the Boys and Girls Club or Child Haven or any of the others says, hey, United Way, we have this thing and this could help a lot of kids, but we're short. And could we get some money, even though it's mid-year and you've already kind of designated most of your funds or all of your funds or whatever, what could we do? It sounds like with this system, you maybe have a bit more flexibility, you and the board, a bit more flexibility to address some of those needs, even at an emergency or last minute level?
You know, that's a good point.
Or ideally, maybe,
yeah,
that's the goal?
That's a good point. It's probably one of the unintended benefits to this, because we've been doing this structure unofficially throughout the pandemic because it's what our community needed. And really, the name of our game is adapt, react, reevaluate, adapt, react, reevaluate. And we've all been having to do that over the pandemic. But one of the things that we feel really good about is our mechanisms that help support nonprofits year-round need to stay in place. We used to have a much more, you know, the community fund will still have, you know, a nice timeline where agencies in the community can expect when applications will be evaluated, when they'll be granted out, when payments will happen. But we also want to be a year-round support to nonprofits where, yeah, if something came up and things have came up for agencies before where we might not be able to have any money left in the impact fund, but we're going to do everything that is within our power and we know how to do outside of just this traditional way of fundraising to find those resources. And we do that year round. And honestly, the impact financially that we're able to end up bringing in from outside funding, not our community fund, is usually much larger than what we're able to raise in the community fund. The only problem with that is it's usually very restricted. So that's why when an agency can come to us at any time of the year and say, here's what I'm struggling with, I really need help, or I've came up short, we'll try. We'll do anything to try.
You have a lot of networks and resources that you can kind of reach out to, it sounds like.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just strategizing with them, rethinking the way that they're applying, helping them reword their applications. Sometimes it's about making sure that they've communicated the impact or the need of that gap and what that's going to result to. So,
nice.
Yeah. Any kind of strategy, we're ready to help.
There you go. So you'll be getting out, you and a bunch of volunteers will be heading out throughout the county to start talking about the company campaigns and payroll deduction and all these different things that we're used to hearing about with United Way, right, in the fall.
Yep, absolutely. We will be starting that as early as September 1st, and that's going to be going pretty
next week.
I
don't mean to freak you out, but that's next week.
I'm already freaked out.
You are aware.
I am. Okay. And we actually have a few campaigns already running, so
nice.
It's always excellent for us when they're going, but we're going to start getting more and more scheduled, and we want to get more and more businesses on board. There is no fine print. There is no obligation. This is really an opportunity to give your employees a chance to be more connected with the community and oftentimes aligning with your company values. So
what should folks do if they're watching us this morning and want to have you come in and talk to their employees? Can they just give the office a call or go through the website? What's the best way to do that?
I would suggest the website. We actually have a contact form that should just be right there, obvious for you, that I'd like to start a campaign, and we'll get that. And also starting September 1st, we'll have a do-it-yourself campaign packet on the website for anyone to download. Where it's really self-explanatory, but there's a lot of ways that we can help support you. You don't have to do the work. This is our job.
Nice. Very good. SJ United Way.
SJUnitedWay.org.
Okay. That's what I thought. I want to get it right. And then, before we go, we're almost out of time. I wanted to put up this graphic that isn't quite showing up on the screen the right way that I would like it to. So let's do that. But these are four important numbers to know, right? And these are all up and running in our state and in New Mexico and ready to help people that are in need.
They are, they are. So 988 is a great nationwide line that's up and running statewide. Obviously 911 for emergencies. And 211 is information and referral services. We currently operate that, but we're also working very closely with San Juan County's Mental Wellness Resource Center that right. also does a lot of the same information and connections. So real, and then of course poison control. So the right. main reason for this campaign is really to help people know and understand the difference between the numbers and know who to call when and what's the most appropriate number for the need.
Right. And these are answered all the time.
With the exception of 211. So we are actually, our state group of United Ways is actually working right now. We're waiting to hear back from our U.S. Senator on congressionally delegated spending on whether or not our application was approved to network our entire statewide 211 together so that our statewide, so that our 211s will work 24 hours a day, all the time, and it will be answered no matter what county you're in, and they'll all have local to anywhere in New Mexico information.
Gotcha. That'd be great.
Yes.
Well, you'll come back and tell us how that goes.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed on that. We'll know by October.
Okay. Sounds good. Catherine, we're out of time.
All right.
It just flew by, but that's what happens, I guess, right?
So, yeah, when you're having fun.
Thank you for coming in to talk about all the exciting things that United Way is doing. Again, I'm a proud board member, and I'm glad that my money goes to all these different organizations throughout the county, and that's really what I find United Way is able to do, is to really make big impacts in a lot of different areas with the limited dollars that I'm able to give, but I know it makes a big impact in the community, and it stays local, and 100% goes to where it's needed. So, thank you for coming in.
Right. Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
You
Catherine
as well.
Abeda. She is the executive director of the San Juan United Way, my guest this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.